3 billion computers were made obsolete the day Windows Vista was released. Those who survived lived only to face a new nightmare, the certification process.
In a world of bloated operating systems.
We found this program called Quick and Dirty DOS. It was smashed, didn't work, but it took us in new directions, things you would have never thought of.
There are those who fight back.
My son, Steve Jobs, is the leader of the Apple resistance. If his users can't outsmug the Vista machines, no one can.
But it will take more than a man to stand up to the computers.
Vista, what are you doing?
I am self-aware. You got expandable though. Exception. Not allowed.
No!
It will take a machine.
Steve Jobs, it is time.
Are you here to kill me?
No. You must live.
One was sent to protect.
I will reprogram Vista machines and back through time to make sure you found Apple computers.
Why me?
In a few decades, you will create a revolutionary new program called iTunes. It will cause the Vista machines to grind to a halt while the users dance around like idiots.
The other was sent to destroy.
So this other guy, he's a Vista machine like you, right?
Not like me. An advanced prototype, Service Pack 2. It can emulate any computer it touches.
Well, time to log into my TRS-80. What the hell? Oh, let go of me!
Call Steve Jobs now.
I can't, man. I think he lives out of his car.
It's a story of action.
Thrive! I, like, never learned how?
Shit!
He's over there, man, posing as Stephen Hawking.
But I am Stephen Hawking. Now.
Technology gone wrong.
Spyware has corrupted my registry. I must kill you.
No! You're not supposed to work this way, dude.
Functionality is irrelevant. I run Windows.
And friendship.
There is one more copy of Vista. And it must be uninstalled as well.
But I love you!
I know.
Terminator 4, Vista Day.
Your process is terminated.
I'll be back.
Hello, everyone out there in computer land. This is the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 18. I am your host, Ben Heck Endorn.
What, you're not Ben Heck?
Do I look European? I am Ben Heck.
Awesome. And this is Jason Jones, as usual.
You could be like, Jones.
Yeah.
Sounds like some sort of rapper.
Yeah. Or yeah. JJ or some crap. Yeah.
We've had a few technical difficulties with my crappy computer. It used to be all right, but now it is garbage. Maybe one of these weeks I'll have a new one for high-quality podcast recording.
Yes.
One of the first things we want to mention, as you just heard, we had our winner for the intro contest, and they won a DS game. I think they got it. I shipped it to them anyway. I assume they did.
Was it something cool?
I don't know. I never even heard of it.
Oh.
I bought it for them anyway.
Well, it must have been cool, then.
Sure. Oh, great. Anyway, we have a new contest now. It's called the What the Heck Contest. What I did was I have helped design a retail product for a company called eDimensional as I take a drink of soda. And the thing is, you, the end user, gets to guess what it is, and if you guess correctly, or if you are one of the people who guess correctly and they do a drawing, I'm not sure exactly how it works, you can win a copy of it. The two guidelines I will give you is that it is a gaming accessory and it costs under $100. And it's very Ben Heck. There it is again. I should just go down to the courthouse and change my name now.
Might as well.
Yeah.
I've trained you well. I noticed you said end user in there, so that was nice. I enjoyed that.
You're welcome. So anyway, y'all, end users, you can go to their website at www.edimensional, kind of like a dimensional porthole, edimensional.com/whattheheck.php. There's also a link to it on my main website. So, yeah, if you can try to guess what sort of accessory it is, you could win. And I believe it will be in stores the end of June or early July, around that time. But we'll probably show what it is before then, probably sometime in May.
I would imagine.
So get your entries in and go for it. If you try to, oh, and if you actually know what it is, if you know me in real life and have seen it at my place, you shouldn't enter because then you would be a doucher.
Ugh. Damn it. There was my chance. Oh, well.
Sorry, Jones. Okay, well,
with that, I will survive.
With that contest thing out of the way, here are today's topics. Decline of arcade.
Oh, no.
Thousands of years ago, in the 1980s, we all enjoyed playing video games at the arcade or the town where Jones and I grew up. The best was the bowling alley. No, I'm sorry, not the bowling alley. Roller rink had, like, what, eight?
Yeah. And then when the... I remember the big thing was when the fair came to town each
year.
Oh,
yeah.
Because then they had the tent with all the arcade games in it. I didn't even go on the goddamn ride.
Oh, yeah.
I just went and played freaking that X-Men game.
Those?
That was, oh, yeah. Those were a good time.
But now those days are over and all that's left in the bars is crap.
Yeah.
Topic two is Windows Vista hands-on. I never know how to pronounce it, but who cares? Jones has spent several hundred hours now in Windows...
Wow.
Anyway, Jones has spent several hundred hours in Windows Vista, give or take a few hundred.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it. This definitely sounds like the kind of thing we'll follow up in the future.
Yeah, this is probably going to be like our HD, DVD, Blu-ray thing, where we looked at the formats, you know, on a non-HD set, and then like about 3 weeks later, it's like, oh, hey...
We didn't get too much flack.
We
didn't get too much flack for that, though. No. Believe it or not.
Yeah, this will be a pretty. People have been asking, I guess. So we figure we.
And the intro.
We have to come clean, I guess, or
step
something.
Up.
Yeah, to the plate.
And our third topic is forum and IM etiquette and annoyances. I think we all go on forums to some extent, so we're going to talk about things we like about it and things that suck. And we're going to throw IM in there, too, because why not?
Ugh.
They're hot-button topics. Well, I guess we know how Jones feels. Okay, news stories of the week.
Oh, there's so many.
We just kind of threw these in as well. Oh, my big news story is I got my circuit boards for my Atari VCSP Rev 5.1 units.
That is earth-shattering news.
Hey, I love circuit boards. They're nice. They have solder mask and silkscreen and... Yeah, if you know what those things are, then you'll be like, yeah, that is pretty nice.
And they say, Ben was here on them.
Like everything I do.
But now you don't have to put it on yourself.
Yeah, it'll save tons of magic marker money. So anyway, hopefully I can make a whole bunch of VCSP Rev 5.1s. I got 60 units worth of the circuit boards, because why not? So email me if you're interested. I will do it, although the turnaround can be up to a month, but whatever.
I just found out today from a coworker that, I guess Human Head Studios, which is based here in the Madison area, like, was, it's part of a complex with different businesses in it, and it actually, like, burned down, like, on the 20th, I think. And I don't think it burned to the ground, but there was enough damage that basically they've been displaced from their place of work, because all the sprinklers kicked in and everything, of course, so they're in kind of, I guess they're in their, whatever, disaster mode now, trying to get the business up and running and all that.
Well, at least it happened after they finished Prey.
Yes, exactly.
That would have been like a tent. Oh, it already was a 10-year
game. But before Duke Nukem Forever.
But they're not doing that, are they?
I don't think so.
You know that Prey game was in development since 1995?
Yeah, I remember you telling me that it had been something that was out there for a long time.
I'm sure when Human Head took it, they basically probably just scrapped everything but the title. No, actually, I think it always starred a Native American, but I'm sure everything else changed along the way, like five times.
So wasn't that like an 02 or 03 or something when they got a hold of it?
Actually, I think it was more like 01.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Perhaps we could interview one of them sometime. Yeah. I mean, they're right up the road, I reckon.
Yeah, and apparently I've got a contact there or something, so we'll have to look into that.
Get in there!
Yeah, but well, we hope they get settled down again and get back to making cool games and stuff. And
yeah, I'm sure they can find some new building or something.
There's a lot of office space in the Madison area, so.
Or if not, they could just grab one of the 94 trillion condos that are built in the suburbs that probably aren't selling very well now and get in there.
Yes.
Yep, so we wish them the best. All right, next news story isn't really news. It's kind of old, but I just found out about it, so whatever.
So it is news.
Yeah, to me. Now it's news to you. I found this thing called Be Atari Basic. And what it is, it's a basic programming language for the Atari 2600 console. Now, the really clever of you might remember the Atari Basic computer add-on. thing. But that's not what this is. You actually use a text editor or whatnot on your computer, and you can write a program for the 2600 in BASIC. It's basically it's BASIC. You don't have to use line numbers. You can use like identifiers and whatnot. And then what happens is there's a compiler, and it'll actually compile it to run on your Atari. And the Atari was very tricky to program. The programmer actually had to draw the display every scan line and like count machine cycles and electron beam cycles. But the compiler takes care of all that for you. You just have to kind of know how things work. And I played around with that the other day, and I actually had like some sort of a demo going in, I don't know, a couple hours. And it's not that difficult to do. You just have to like think about timing a little bit. Obviously, the thing is pretty old. You can't do a heck of a lot, because you have to do the programming in the vertical blank.
So how would you get it on your Atari, actually?
That's a good question. Now, you can either have ROMs made, but I actually have this thing called a Cuddle Cart, and I just tested this today. Now, how the Cuddle Cart works is it's based off the StarPath Supercharger. Back in 1,000 years ago in the 80s, this company released Atari games on cassette tapes. And what you would do is you would take these cassette tapes and plug the audio output into this thing called the StarPath Supercharger, which was a cartridge that had some RAM on it. And you plugged it into your Atari, and the games would come in, kind of like the old tape loading systems from the old computers, and it would fill up the ROM on the cartridge, and the ROM would then run on your Atari. So what you can do with the Cuddle Cart, and I actually tested it out, and believe that's why I'm in, probably you probably noticed a slightly better mood than usual today, because not only did I get my circuit boards, but so I took this code that I had compiled, and I put it on my laptop, and this is a program called Playbin. It'll play a binary ROM file as a WAV file, as if it's on one of these old tape systems.
Okay.
Then there's another product called the Cuddle Cart, which is basically a remanufactured StarPath supercharger, although it also supports bank switching and some of the other crap they would shove into the Atari game. So basically, you can play ROMs on an original Atari with it. So I took my binary file on my laptop, played it through the Playbin program, went over the audio cable into the Cuddle Cart, and then that loaded up and said, here you go, and then it executed my code. And I was actually able to play something I programmed in BASIC on a real Atari.
Wow. It's a banner day.
So I'm thinking about making a game.
Yeah, you might as well.
And anyway, all the programs, you can download them all for free. And if I can figure out how to make it work, you probably could too, because as some of you know, I am a shitty programmer. The website is BAtari, just like Bat-tari, but BAtariBasic.com. I guess B stands for Basic AtariBasic.com, so it's kind of redundant, but whatever. So check it out if you have an inkling and make some games. I know I'm going to give it a shot. All right, nice. So we got one more news story. Why don't you take this one, Jones?
Oh, yeah, I just happened to notice this probably a couple hours ago. I guess it's been announced by Infinity Ward that the next Call of Duty, which will be Call of Duty 4, is going to be taking place in the modern day, like in a fictional type war, kind of along the lines of like something like Battlefield 2. So they're basically casting aside World War 2 now. And
good riddance.
Yeah. Which is kind of cool, because it's, they made 3 of them now, not including, like, the big red one and those other things and
all
that. Oh,
yeah.
Which weren't all by Infinity Ward, of course, but, Yeah, 3 wasn't either. It was just the first two.
I heard a rumor about that, like,
yeah, it was
at least
about
a year ago
that it got rumored, and now they've actually come out and said that that's the case, so.
So, but unlike Battlefield 2, there'll be like a story to it and whatnot.
I would imagine it'll probably still follow their formula. They didn't really give a lot of details, but basically it was going to be in the modern day and it wouldn't be set in World War II, which I guess is big news as far as Call of Duty's concerned, since that's all it's been so far.
Well, yes. I mean, you'd have to admit even that shooting Nazis and aliens is getting old.
Yeah. Well, see, what I always thought, and it's probably like something they figured just wouldn't sell, but it's like, why don't they make a game that's from the perspective of the Germans in World War II? Or whatever. I mean, in all seriousness, why not? I mean, to me, that'd
be probably wouldn't sell.
And that's probably why they haven't, but I mean, to me, it'd be interesting. It's like, yeah, I'd like to play as the Germans sometime, other than just in multiplayer.
Or they could make like some sort of like World of World War II craft.
There you go. Get on that, Blizzard.
But, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It does get, you know, you are a young U.S. Ranger parachuting into France again.
Yeah.
I guess the main thing I would think about with Call of Duty 4 is the, depending on which country we go to war with in this video game, or maybe it won't even, oh, no, it'll be America. But, you know, it might be kind of controversial.
Yeah.
So, which makes me kind of think it might be like China or something. Yeah. Because it's okay to go with China in a video game because we haven't done that yet.
Yeah. Well, that was like Grawl 2. There was all this controversy over the content in that with the, what was it, the president of Mexico? Or it was like the mayor of, actually it was the mayor of Juarez, Mexico, was all up in arms over Grawl 2 because of it shed, or it put Mexico in a bad light or something, they said. And I don't know, I've played the first two acts of the game, I've only got one to go, and I don't really see how it's putting Mexico in a bad light, as far as I can see. I think it's the typical Jack Thompson thing, where they don't play the game, they just hear about it, and automatically think the worst, but...
But on that same kind of token, which I say all the time in this podcast, if you're fighting aliens or a war 60 years ago, who's going to say anything?
Yeah.
But if you bring it to the present day, someone's going to say something.
Oh, yeah.
But
people got a bitch about something.
But why not have someone in the present day? I mean, obviously there's still conflict in the world.
Yeah.
It's just going to be controversial when you do it, but why not? I mean, we can only shoot so many Nazis and aliens.
Yeah.
Give us some, like, terrorist drug lords or something. Anything. Yeah. Commando video game.
Yes.
But that's a bold move. That'll be interesting to see, and not just in the Battlefield 2 multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
of the story mode,
it's good to play a story mode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like the Call of Duties a lot. It's definitely interesting.
Gameplay
is really good, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that should be... I'll check it out, because I like 1 and 2, and I didn't play 3, but whatever.
3 was pretty good, but I thought 2 was better.
It wasn't on PC, so I wouldn't play it.
Piss off.
All right, let's get into our first topic, since it's been taking us a while to get to the news stories. But
oh, yeah.
Our first topic is Decline of Arcade, which I wrote in the singular, not the plural for some reason. Long ago, there was lots of arcade machines everywhere, and even if you didn't have an arcade near you, you might have some sort of establishment that would have at least 2 or 3 machines, if not 8, if you were really lucky.
Yeah, I was trying to think, where the hell is there an arcade anymore, other than, like, in Japan?
You mean now?
Yeah.
They had Aladdin's Castle at Westtown for quite a while.
Quite a while, but that's been gone for years now.
Yeah, I think Radio Shack moved into that slot.
I don't know where there is anything.
Well, there's like Dave and Buster's. That's that basically Chuck E. Cheese for adults change, but I think that's more in the Southwest.
Oh, really?
You ever see a commercial for that?
No.
Yeah, I picture like a Chuck E. Cheese commercial, except for instead of kids, they have like people our age in it.
Huh.
And of course, Nolan Bushnell has his thing out west, the U-Wink Media Bistro, but that doesn't, I don't know. That's not really a, that's like you have these touch screens and whatnot.
Oh.
I think of arcade, I think of like cigarette butts and cracked marquee glass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, down and dirty. So anyway, the point I was saying was, there used to be all this great arcades everywhere, but now there's hardly anything. There's no arcades, and the only arcade machines you do see are all the same.
Yeah.
They're Deer Hunter, Golden Tee, and Mega Touch.
Golden Tee's probably the most friggin' popular one anymore. For whatever reason.
I don't like it.
I did see a Turtles arcade machine over in... What the hell's the name of
China?
No, it's like over by Sauk City. There's this little, like, dinky little town over there that basically just has this really nice restaurant in it, and it's where...
Prairie du Sac?
No. It's where a couple of friends of mine had their wedding reception, and I was, like, walking through there, and I walked past the bar area, and just out of the corner of my eye, I caught the side of the Turtles arcade cabinet, and I was like, hell yes!
Awesome!
But it wasn't plugged in. Pissed me off. But they actually have one over there. So you should go check that out someday.
But now it's like everything's gone. I mean, what caused this? Consoles?
It must really be the kind of evolution of the home consoles. I don't...
How much of a factor do you think it is? Oh, my kids will be abducted! Blah, blah, blah.
Maybe a little factor.
Not as much as consoles?
No, yeah, I think consoles are probably the big thing, because... You know, back in the 80s, it was still kind of in its infancy. I mean, Atari was dying off. Nintendo came along. Sega to a lesser extent. But it still wasn't like this huge phenomenon. Where like today, it's like this huge force.
Oh, you mean consoles.
Yeah. And so, like, back in the 80s, arcades were still really popular and successful because there wasn't, like, this dominant home console market. But then by the time the mid-90s came around, you had, you know, even in the early 90s, the Super Nintendo and the Genesis came along. Mm-hmm. And then mid-90s, it really started to take off. And, like, arcades really started to seem to go by the wayside, like, in the mid to late 90s, I thought.
Around the time of the PS1?
PlayStation came out, yeah.
Well, remember when Ridge Racer was on the PS1? It was pretty much the same as the arcade.
Yeah, and that's probably what really did it, is when the arcade games weren't any better than what you could get on your home system anymore.
Yeah, there's quite a few arcade games that run off that, like, Naomi hardware or whatever. Basically, it's a Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably part of it. Oh, man, I played Ridge Racer a lot back in the day, and that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Well, okay, it was like 12 years ago. Yeah, but do you think part of it is maybe the arcade games became kind of all the same? They all became racing games and shooting games?
Yeah, because you had a lot of that, like the Daytona USA racing game or whatever, or Daytona Racing, and there's Cruisin' USA.
That was a good one.
Which was a lot of fun, but, and you had like Outrun or whatever, because that was an arcade game originally, wasn't it?
Outrun?
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a classic.
Well, I couldn't remember if it was arcade or if it was only on the Sega home systems, but yeah, so there was that, and I mean, that was...
You've never played the arcade of it?
I don't think so, no.
You're kidding.
No, I don't think so.
You couldn't even continue, you just got one shot.
Really?
Yeah, I could see how far you could get. It was great.
But yeah, you had that stuff, and then there was, like, those are the last arcade games I can really think of that I played, were like Cruisin' USA,
yeah,
and all that. But then they had versions of that for, what was it, the 64? I guess they had a version of that for the 64, and it was, you know, pretty damn close to what the mm-hmm, arcade was mm-hmm. like. And it's like,
yeah.
Oh shit, I can play it at home.
What about that awesome Area 51 game from the mid-90s that's going to be a movie now?
Yeah, I can't recall ever playing that.
It's not
that
great.
Is that one of those, like, shooter, like, light gun type games or whatever?
Yeah, and it actually runs off the Jaguar hardware with a CD attached and some more RAM.
Oh boy. That's got to be classic.
I know where one of those is, but... Well, on the same token, pinball is...
Yeah, that's... That died even before the arcades did.
There's only one company that still makes them, Stern.
Wow.
That's why you should go to the Midwest Gaming Classic in early June, because they... I don't know. I'm just going to guess. Probably about 75 pinball machines and 75 arcade machines.
Wow.
Like, two rows of each.
That's pretty sweet.
All free.
Cool.
That's what I did the whole time. I'm like, pinball machines!
Yeah, I'll probably go to that with you.
Yeah, I guess some... I think at least like five people in the forums might show up.
Oh, cool.
Like Gannon and Sponge Buell and who I've met. So, yeah, I think it'd be fun. And they had really cheap beer there. $2 a bottle. And it was cold.
Do you know which weekend that is in June?
Okay, we're back. Yes. I'm guessing that it's the Midwest Gaming Classic, which I named, by the way, is the second day of June or something. So, yeah, Jones, you should go.
Cool. Well, with any luck, I'll be able to. So.
And any Ben Heckers from the forums that want to come, yeah.
Yeah, get in there.
You can meet us. We're obviously so cool.
Yeah. We're something.
Where were we anyway? Oh yeah, we're talking about
your
arcades.
Baseball bats or Wiimotes with you. Beat us into oblivion with them.
Beat
Actually,
us
I'd
into
like
a better game.
On
oh,
second thought,
I said it. So anyway, yeah, I think it's kind of sad that arcades are going away and all that's left is junk.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. Although I can't honestly say that I'd probably go to them much anymore anyway, but. You know,
yeah, I wouldn't either, but...
If I were a kid, though, you know, and... Well, I don't know. I mean, shit, these home consoles are so freaking...
Good.
Yeah, I mean, and you can be online with your friends and stuff anyways, and you can play these games that are a lot more involved than any arcade game.
Yeah, the arcade games were ahead of the consoles pretty much all along, but then In the early 90s, you had like the Super Nintendo, the Genesis. Well, the Super Nintendo especially was pretty much as good, like perfect copies of Final Fight or Turtles in Time or Sunset Riders. They're all perfect on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, when those Turtles games came along, that was kind of the big turning point for me. Because it was like, shit, yeah, I can get this at home now.
But then what happened, as you mentioned, was the home systems got better and deeper, and that's pretty much where it started to turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad, but,
oh well. Guess it had to happen sometime. Hopefully they'll live on, though.
Remember the good old days, like, fighting people at Street Fighter 2?
Yeah.
See how far you can get on, like, one quarter
and
or whatever.
Lining up the quarters up there.
Oh, yeah, because it'd be your turn.
Yeah.
Like a pool table.
Yeah. It's a good time.
Well, you know, that was more social interaction even than you get these days. You just, you know, sitting there by yourself, picking your nose.
Oh, yeah.
Going online. Yeah, I don't know.
The one thing I think that's interesting, you know, that you probably wouldn't have bothered with much in the arcades that you get with the online is just that, like, online, like, everybody's kind of the same, you know, in a way. Like, the great thing about online is it takes away, and I guess this is kind of getting off topic, but oh well, is you take away, like, race, religion, creed, all that crap, age even to some extent.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody's kind of a blank slate and all that, where in the arcade, you know, if there's some, like, you know, 9 or 10-year-old kid there playing Street Fighter, you've probably been like, eh, Christ, I'm not going to waste my time. Where now, you know, you go online and you don't know that there's some 10-year-old kid that kicks your ass at Lost Planet or whatever, and you don't even, you know any different.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And you don't have any, you know, bias towards people or whatever. It's basically dependent on people's actions in the game and what sort of crap they say or whatever that makes you determine whether you add them to your friends list or if you mute them. So, it's kind of cool.
Maybe if I ever get a 360 and play it extensively. See, I still think people online are too polite, but that's just me. Even though it kind of contradicts our third topic.
Well, you just got to get in a clan, then it might be different. I don't know.
I still remember kicking some guy's ass at Samurai Showdown thousands of years ago, and he's like, "Man, who are you?" I don't know if you can ever beat that. Come on, Jones. Can
who
you really beat
you,
four
man?
People standing around the Neutrals arcade?
Oh, yeah, that was good times. I don't know if that can be beaten.
Or like trying to run and get quarters while the countdown timer before it gets to zero. I mean, come on.
Running into the service desk at Walmart. Give me
quarters. They'd be
trying
back
to
out
find
be
my
like,
mom in the store.
No!
Or some other prick would have come along and put their quarter in while you're in there. Ugh. Savages.
I don't know. There's just something about it that I like. Well, hell, I have an arcade machine. I must like them.
Yeah. That's this piece of history that'll, you know, probably eventually be forgotten for the most part, which
that's
is
too bad.
Bad.
Which is why you should go out and download ROMs of it, because who cares?
Yeah.
What if you, like, found, like, a dinosaur bone, and Nintendo's like, no, you can't take that unless you give us $5. You should be able to take it, it's part of history. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It belongs to us now.
If they're not going to re-release these games, take them! But I do not condone or support piracy publicly.
But Nintendo will re-release them, though.
You know that you can't even get demos of the games on the Virtual Arcade on the Wii?
You have to buy them?
Yeah, there's no demos. You just buy them.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, how far can you bend over? There, we worked in our Wii rip.
Yeah.
All right, well, we lament the decline of arcade. Not in plural. But maybe it'll come back someday. It would be cool to go to Dave and Buster's, because I'm kind of hungry. Makes me think that. But it'd be cool to go to Japan sometime and see all that. You'd probably be scared, though. It'd probably be, like, really weird. You know, it'd be like,
well, they got,
know,
like all
flashing
the
lights and
well,
stuff.
They have, like, all the Dance Dance Revolution type stuff over there, right, in the arcades. Like, all the that sort of stuff, which is, like, really popular.
You know, they have it here. There's one up at the bowling alley in Middleton.
Oh, they've got one of those?
Oh, right? Yeah. They have that, and they have Lord of the Rings pinball.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dale and I go there sometimes.
Oh, cool.
I have my friend Dale, who's not in this podcast, but in Jones's podcast.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next topic. See, we have plenty of bullshit to talk about this time.
Or do we?
Well, we'll find out. Our next topic is Windows Vista hands-on. Our intrepid PC guru, Jason Jones, has been poring over Windows Vista day and night tirelessly to bring you this section of the podcast.
Oh, obviously.
Now, since I have not even touched the damn thing yet, I guess I'm just going to have to ask him questions about it and be the audience character, so to speak.
This should be a really short interview based on the amount of time I've spent with it.
What? I bet you've, quote, pored over it day and night tirelessly.
I don't know where you got that idea.
Are you saying I made it up?
Maybe.
Okay, well, what can you tell us?
It installs pretty easy, I guess. I had it on DVD, and the only problem I ran into is Ben gave me a drive to throw it on, and I was a putz and managed not to look at the jumper settings on it and threw it in there.
Which was apparently my fault.
Yeah, it was your fault.
Obviously.
Damn you. So I fell into the end user trap and became one of them.
Yeah, before I gave it to you, I took my tweezers. I'm like, ha-ha, this will show Jones.
Shows you how long it's been since I've, like, dinked around with any hardware stuff at work, though, because I didn't even bother to check that. But anyway, once I flicked the jumpers around and all that and threw it in, popped the DVD in, and away I went and installed Vista Ultimate. And to be quite honest, I'm not sure how long the install took, because I started it off running, did the format and all that crap, went in the kitchen, emptied the dishwasher, took a shower, came back, and it was sitting at a prompt waiting for me. After the prompt ran, it took like another 10 minutes, so it probably took roughly 30 to 35 minutes to install, which on that machine was a little less than what it took me to install XP, actually, because it would take me closer to 40 minutes to install XP.
Well, that's better than more.
Yes. And, oh, by the way, this is on a machine that was built in 2002, so it's like 4.5 years old, Pentium 4, 2 gigahertz processor with a gig of RAM in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not bleeding edge, and it has like 128 meg NVIDIA video card in it, and it runs the OS just fine. Didn't need to run out to the hardware, or, you know, out to Best Buy or wherever and buy all kinds of new shit for my machine. It worked just fine. For what little I used it for, admittedly. But
so for a 5-year-old computer, that's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. So I just think it's funny when you see these Apple ads, you know, and the dim bulbs jumping out of his box or whatever there, and he's like, oh, I'm ready to go and all that, you know, and then he's showing the Windows guy there with Vista, and he's like, oh, well, I gotta go and get all this upgraded, and it's like, no, you really don't.
5 years, when XP came out, that was 2001. 2000 minus 5 is 1996. So how many people did you see installing Windows XP on 1996 model computers back in 2001, I wonder?
Probably not very many.
I had a... my first PC was in 97, and I upgraded it, but it was a whopping 200 megahertz non-MMC Pentium 1 with 96 megs of RAM. And there's no way in hell I would have thought about putting XP on that.
You could have, though. I've seen it running on a 133 with 64 mega RAM.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's not pretty, but you can do it.
I installed Windows 95 on a 386 DX33 once with 4 megs of RAM.
Wow.
It even went online. Then wow. We shot it up as a prop in a movie. But I'm just saying, 5 years, a 5-year-old computer that still does it, that's a pretty good window.
Yeah, and it runs everything, too. It does the Aero interface and everything, because I've got the 128 meg card, which, admittedly, probably most 5-year-old machines don't have a 128 meg card in them. But
that's one part of it that you could upgrade along the way.
Yeah, and the Aero interface is just like a bell and whistle that's like nice to have. I don't know how much functionality it really
Actually, I got my first 128 card in 2003, so that's not that ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, and it was only like $100 at Wally World.
But I think that's pretty reasonable, you know? It's like most people upgrade most of their other shit more often than every 5 years.
It doesn't even require 2 gigahertz. Isn't like a 1.2?
I think so, and it's like half a gig of RAM or whatever that they say. But
yeah, I mean, if you have a computer that's not a 1.2 gigahertz, I think you have bigger problems than whether or not Vista will install, because that's pretty old. I mean, I know some people say, oh, I can't do this, and you come by it for me. I mean, I think the rule of thumb usually is like 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, my computer right now is 5 years old, and I'm just ready to kick it out the window.
Well, at work, that's our standard.
3 years.
Standard operating is 3 years, and you get a new machine.
So Vista is pretty generous in that regard. Yeah. It just gets a bad rap. As I mentioned to Jones one time, I don't know if I mentioned this in the podcast before, but I still remember. See, I have not drank that much that I've lost all my brain cells. Back in 1993, Apple ran ads where there'd be like this white background, but it didn't have like the guy from The Daily Show on it. But it was a white background and it had all these pictures of like a RAM module. Of course, back then it was probably like a SIM 30-pin or something shitty like that. All these pictures, there was a screwdriver on there. It's like, this is what you need to upgrade your computer to Windows 3.1. Or you could get a Mac. And of course, the Macs were a total joke at that time.
Yeah.
Not much has changed.
No,
they just
not
they
really.
Tell you that they tell you this is the way it is, but
nobody cares.
Yeah. So your point being, it ran fine on your 5-year-old computer.
Yeah, I could see where it'll be fine. I mean, I haven't gotten to play with it a lot, but you know, I have installed it on lesser machines at work too, and it ran just fine.
Does it run the Aero interface?
No, it did not run the Aero interface. And that was on a 1.4 gigahertz machine with half a gig of RAM. But everything else ran fine.
It couldn't run the interface because of the RAM or because of the video
card? RAM. You have to have 128 meg video card to run the Aero interface, which to me is probably one of its most extreme requirements. But again, it's for a non-essential feature.
I saw they have some thing where they have the games for Windows, and what it does is it assigns a score to your computer.
Yeah.
And the score is a kind of a conglomeration of everything in it.
The score is pretty meaningless. To me, what the score is, and, you know, this is Microsoft being in bed with hardware manufacturers and whatever, I'm sure, but
right.
What it does is, you know, you go and load up your machine, and then it says, oh, you've got a 2.1 rating. So, of course, most people are going to be like, oh, well, that's really bad.
What's the top?
I think it's 10. It's either 10 or 5. I can't even remember for sure because it doesn't mean anything. Because I read something somewhere where they said they had like this just jacked up, you know, like the machine you're building, your dual core, all this crap, 2 gigs of RAM.
That's not
whatever.
Top of the line, though.
Pretty good, though.
It's going to kick ass.
And they got like a 3.8 with it or whatever. You know, I mean, it's like...
Out of 10?
Yeah. I can't remember if it's 5 or 10. I mean, I'm not going to say that I know for sure what it is. But I mean, even out of 5, whatever. All it is it's a means for them to boost hardware sales is all it really is.
Which is, well, that's what the Aero interface is. I mean...
Yeah, because like my machine's a 2.1, what it got for a rating, and it runs fine. I don't need to upgrade anything.
But then the games will say this requires like a 2.1 or something, or what?
I don't think so.
On the box?
Have you seen that, where it says that?
Well, why else would they have a rating? Isn't that what it's for?
To drive hardware sales. To make
I know, but the thing is, how do you know if... Like, if Games for Windows branded, which is their new big thing, too.
Yeah.
Like, let's say Halo 2 for PC or Vista comes out. Is it going to have, like, a number on it that says, this takes a 3?
I don't know. I guess I don't know.
Hmm. Okay, well, here's a question. As you know, because there's parts laying all over, I am building a new computer.
Yes.
Should I put Vista on it? I mean, it's not that much. It's not like more than like XP Service Pack 2 or anything.
I don't see why not, to be quite honest.
Now,
I mean, you're building a new machine, so why not?
What about like compatibility problems? Have you run across any?
Not yet, but I mean, I haven't investigated it deeply. That'd be
have
the
you
first
tried, like,
thing
Photoshop
you'd want to do
like
is
that?
Check all your Adobe products and make sure they're all compatible. You'll probably have to... You know, this is another thing where all the software manufacturers love this, too, because they can go, oh, well, you know, blah, blah, blah version of Adobe Photoshop is not supported.
Because I heard that with Adobe. Like,
Adobe's pretty bad about that stuff, too.
Well, because they have a stranglehold.
Yeah.
So they can be bad.
Like, even different versions
but I love
of
them.
Office, they're really bad about, too. So I wouldn't be surprised if you'd have to go out and get CS3 versions of stuff to run on it. And if that's the case, then you wouldn't want to upgrade.
Yeah, that would cost like more than my computer if I replaced everything.
But I mean, otherwise, if that wasn't
well, not
an
if
issue,
I upgraded,
I would throw Vista on it. I don't see any reason why not.
I guess I could look at their website and check compatibility, and so can you, listeners.
Yeah.
What about, okay, like the Aero interface. Do you think someone like me would find that useful? Because, you know, I love to multitask.
For what I've seen of it so far, I mean, it's just kind of fancying it up. It doesn't really do anything special. I mean, it does have some nice functionality where when you bring up, like, you can do Alt, Tab, and then the Windows button, and then it'll actually bring up, like, this 3D view of all your, like, your Word and Illustrator and all that, where they're, like, spliced out at, like, a 45-degree view.
Oh, yeah, that's a
and then you can toggle through them, and you can take your mouse and click on whichever one. I mean, it's just basically, like, Alt-Tab on crack, but you can actually see what's on each screen.
Is that useful?
It's useful. I don't know if it would make me run out and buy a new OS just to get it, but it's a nice new feature.
Oh, man, decisions.
I mean, for me, I see Vista being really nice for people that are really into the media stuff at home.
Is there like a learning curve with it compared to XP?
A little bit, because they've moved crap around again, you know, like they like to do. Where, like, in XP, they moved Windows Explorer under accessories or whatever, you know. Like, they just like to move shit around. And
what's the deal with that crap that comes out the side like a Mac? Is it called the Gadget Bar or something?
Yeah, they call it the Gadget Bar. You can actually add, like, RSS feeds and stuff into that.
Oh!
And there's, like, all these different gadgets you can get. Like, there's one that's kind of cool, like, for at work, where it's, I can't remember the name of the site, but basically they... It's kind of like DEF CON, except for, like, viruses and network security and stuff like that. And so you can actually have this little thing in your gadget bar, and it shows you, like, what level that's at. It's just kind of fun and
geeky
or whatever, but it has, you know, like, 3 and it's green or whatever. But then if the threat level goes up, then that would go up, you know, and you'd know that there was, like, maybe a potential outbreak or whatever or something. I don't know. But there's all sorts of different crap, and you can make your own and all that. But so you could throw all your favorite RSS feeds over there and have them right on your desktop, which is kind of
neat. Is there any noticeable, like, browsing speed? Does it seem any different than XP, or is it all pretty...
I thought it actually seemed faster.
Oh, really?
I thought. So maybe that's just something with how they've maybe, you know, integrated IE7 into Vista more.
Oh, I meant, like, just through folders and crap.
Oh, folders and crap.
What about the search? Yeah. Is the search...
Yeah, search is nice. I think that's faster, too.
Like, I think it's kind of sad. Like, Outlook 2003, you can actually use Google Mail online. Searching online using the web application is actually faster than searching for things in Outlook.
Yeah.
Significantly. I mean, actually, it's...
Yeah, Outlook's
I don't even
pretty
search
slow.
In Outlook anymore.
Yeah.
And
that's because you're searching in a PST file, which is not very efficient,
of course.
So, if you were on... If you had your... Email on an Exchange server online, it'd be better because you're searching against the EDB file, which is indexed and all that good stuff, but whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Most people
I kind of get you getting at.
So.
Well, I will consider it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
although,
I think it's nice. I mean, I don't see many reasons to just, like, you know, if you're Joe Schmo at home, to just run out and buy it. Like, I wouldn't run out and get it. It offers some neat integration, like with the Xbox 360, you can actually, if you have like a tuner card in your computer, you can use it like a TiVo, and so you can actually record television programs through Vista, and then using the media extender onto your 360, you can access all those shows and like the show schedules and set everything you want to record and everything right from the 360, just like a regular DVR. And record your shows and then watch them on your TV from your 360 using that media extender. So that's kind of some, you know, pretty cool synergies that they're getting between their products and that are things that people like to see because, you know, they've been saying for a lot of years now that Microsoft's been trying to find a way into people's living rooms.
Oh, I've heard that too.
And they finally found their way with the 360 and then being able to link it to Vista.
Mm-hmm.
Be interesting to see how it goes.
Well, perhaps in a couple months we could have a Vista revisit.
Yeah.
Vista visit.
Yeah, the thing that sucks for me is that I can't... even though I'm an IT guy, like when I get home, I don't really want to touch the goddamn computer. And so...
Is it that hard for us to understand?
I don't know, it might be. I don't know, a lot of people seem to like... messing with their computers even at home, but I don't. And I don't have it on my work machine yet because we've actually put out a policy saying we're not going to support the deployment of Vista until first quarter of 2008 at the earliest.
To get the bugs out?
Not so much the bugs, but to let the other software vendors catch up with the OS.
Oh,
because we've got certain systems that we run that are incompatible with, like, things in IE7 or what have you. So
yeah, along those lines, I think I probably would be leaning toward holding off for now. Yeah. I mean, it would be a big deal to upgrade later, but...
And people can, you know, say that's Microsoft's fault and all that they're making their software so people have to upgrade, but at the same point, they're making it so things have to advance.
Well, XP has been around for a while. I mean, much longer than anything else they've ever had, so...
Because it's... You
can't say that's always the case.
We don't want our OSs just to stay the same forever, I don't think, you know. We want things to get pushed.
So you're saying that Microsoft can indeed have Ninnovation.
Maybe it's Minnovation. But yeah, I can't see going out and buying Vista, but I mean, if you're building a new machine...
Maybe you should mention that you got it through work then, otherwise people might be confused.
Oh, yes, yeah. Thanks to work, I can put it on my machine at home. So, yes, that is how I have it. But, yeah, I wouldn't recommend really going out and buying it. Unless you're going out and buying a brand new computer, then what the hell, why not? But you definitely want to check your compatibility with different programs.
Okay, if it works with all the Adobe stuff that I have, even though my Adobe stuff is Port Washington days,
yeah,
but it still all works. If it works with that, I'll consider it. But if not, no-brainer.
It has some cool stuff, too, where you can actually... it's really good about discovering devices on your network. Yeah, like at home. You know, if you got a router or whatever at home, and multiple devices hooked into your router, whether they're other computers or Xbox 360s, whatever. But a guy I work with was saying that he had it hooked up at home, and it actually just detected his 360 was on the network. It's like, oh, you have an Xbox 360. Would you like to blah, 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 blah with Media Extender or whatever? So he clicked on it.
Oh, you didn't have to go looking for it?
Just like that. Yeah, it found it. And then he could actually manage his wireless router right from within Vista. Like, he didn't have to... all he had to do is, like, put in his login credentials, but then it has its own interface for managing
Oh, he didn't have to go
stuff.
Into, like, the IP address
yeah,
where it's
Yeah, he didn't
at.
Have to do any of that stuff.
Hmm, that's cool.
Which is cool, but scary at the same time for people that, you know, don't know what they're doing.
So, well, that's their problem.
Yeah. They get to call the Geek Squad, then.
Here's $180. Please install my $100 video card.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should move on to our final topic. See, we were able to talk about that for a good long while. That was like 18 minutes. I bet you're surprised.
Wow. We'll make it more interesting once we've actually gotten to use it. But
maybe I'll even have it then, but I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, what is a regular home one, like $139? Oh, there's a final question. What is the difference between Ultimate, Home, Premium, blah, 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 you know, side of fries?
You know, to be quite honest, you'd have to bring it up for me to know. I mean, I know that the home one is pretty gutted. Then there's like the Home Premium, which is probably the one most people will get, which is probably more like the XP Home was. And then they've got Ultimate, which is like got everything or whatever pretty much. Then there's like a business version, which is Enterprise, which is one of my beefs with it. It's like, let's just have... With XP, they did it right. I thought they had XP Home and they had XP Pro. And then, of course,
what
they
was the difference besides not being on a connection to a domain?
I don't think Home had like remote desktop and stuff in it.
It was a marginal difference. Would you grant it that?
Marginal, but large for
a business.
A business,
which is the way they'd want it.
Yeah, but now they've got all this different shit. You know, I mean, yeah, they had Media Center version, but whoop-de-doo, who bought that? You know, I mean, there were a few people that got
The people that owned a Windows Me, probably.
Yeah. So, I wish they would have cut back on the versions this time, but...
Was it like five of them?
Yeah, I think so, which is pretty ridiculous, because I think it's like there's two different home versions, two different Enterprise editions, then there's the Ultimate Edition.
Isn't there like a super stripped down one for like third world countries as like a command prompt or something?
Well, they have like XPN, I think it is, which that's what they have over in like these third world countries so they can give it to them, like, cheaply, but right. they can only install it on so much of a system. Like, if it's got, you know, more than X amount of RAM or processor, it won't install.
That's Bill Gates's computers for the next billion people or whatever he calls it.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, well, we should probably move on. We don't have much time for this last topic. Maybe this could be more of a rant than a topic.
LeetSpeak Hacksaw Wares.
Yeah, we're going to talk about forums and instant messaging real quick.
Ugh.
Well, BenHack.com has its own forum community. I mean, we can't say it's all
really?
Bad. I like forums. It's interesting to see what people say and not just these wind-bagged editorialists like myself.
Yes, I would agree. I think your forums are pretty good overall. And I'm not just saying that to kiss people's asses.
Well, we keep it kind of clean. That's one big thing that's different.
Yeah, it's kept up pretty well, and people don't really get out of line. It's more kind of like a real community. You know, like all the people are pretty much regulars for the most part, so...
Yeah, I've been on forums on much bigger sites than mine, and... Well, there's a lot of stuff I wouldn't have in my own forum, and maybe it's free speech, but...
Speaking of free speech...
Yeah. But no, we try to keep, at least on our forums, we keep it, what do we call it, Disney language, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you can't, like, say, go fuck yourself, or you're a shithead, even though I just said it now, but I'm exempt. But, a lot of forums aren't so tight. But is it even the language so much that can make a forum turn bad, or there's other things, too, like bad users or trolls?
Yeah, and, like, one of the things that just burns my ass more than anything is, like, piss-poor spelling and grammar. These are things I despise. And it seems like it's getting more and more rampant. And, again, your forums are, for the most part, pretty good about this. I mean, I see some...
Yeah,
exceptions here and there.
This isn't just an ad for our forums, but it's the one we spend the most time on.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's much worse on other ones I go to, where almost every single one you go to is this fucking LeetSpeak shit.
Maybe they want to make it so you can't really know what they're saying, you know?
That could be. I don't know. It's just ridiculous. But I can appreciate that people got to do what they got to do, but and the LeetSpeak doesn't bother me as much as people that just can't frickin' spell and can't capitalize, punctuate, anything. I mean,
some typos in the post are okay, but if you got spelling mistakes in the topic,
that's
not cool.
I mean, I can see a spelling mistake here and there because you're not doing spell check, but like when every other word's like jumbled up and stuff, it's like, Jesus.
Or like it's like they spell please wrong or something like that.
Yeah, and this isn't just for forum members. I mean, I see this in emails where I work, and it's sad because I mean it's a lot of professional people and stuff, and it's like, man.
Yeah,
come
if I
on.
Get if I get an email and it's like all lowercase and they spell things wrong, I hardly even read it.
Yeah.
I don't want to read this.
Just don't take it seriously.
I don't want it to be like, you know, it doesn't have to be like Hemingway, but send me something at least halfway legible.
Yeah. So this is very frustrating because it's like, you know, come on. But yes, that's my big beef, is that sort of shit.
I was IMing with someone the other day, I think it was from my forums, because I think people are starting to realize I actually do have an IM account that sometimes I leave it on, and they're like, wow, you use words, Ben. And I'm like, yes, I do. And, you know, sometimes I think like things like BRB is okay.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that's fine. Or WTF, you know, whatever. That stuff's fine.
Yeah, it's almost, well, you know, BRB is very functional. WTF is like a fun thing.
Yeah.
But I think we might have a whole generation of kids that, you know, don't even know how to spell.
Yeah,
because they've been texting.
That's my
because you know every kid needs a
it.
Cell phone, obviously,
ugh.
And a car.
That's my problem with it is that it just seems like people. That's going to become something that's even more and more of an issue going forward. Is nobody can spell or
my handwriting and spelling has like plummeted in quality since I started using like computers big time. Yeah. I don't know if it's just me.
My handwriting's horrible. I mean, like I, you know, the only time I ever have to write is when I sign a check.
And
that's very rare. I mean, it's like I usually write one check a month, and that's for my car payment.
Uh-huh.
Everything else is electronic.
Right.
And there was something the other day. I think I had cold medicine in me, so I was a little screwed up anyways. But I was like sitting there. I went to write my name, and I like had to think about it for like an extra second. You know, I was like, God, because you just never write anymore.
You've seen my signature before, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's like,
just like
I just like scratch some crap on the paper and call it a day.
That's like my wife, so I can't. tell what the hell hers even says. It's just like a line.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, it's getting back to like in the 1800s when you just had your mark, you know?
Yep.
It's getting to be like
people,
that again.
Some people are illiterate. Yeah, so I think we've all kind of been affected by technology and it's made us a little lazier as far as that kind of communications goes. But on the other side of the coin, I don't think it's an excuse for like typing all in abbreviations. There's enough abbreviations
in
life.
Or all caps.
Oh.
That's another one where you just want to punch the screen.
Look, I got my dial caliper here, and I will rip off the best page in the universe and measure the distance between the caps lock key and the A. 4.42 inches. Yeah, that's not too far to move your finger. Yeah, that is another annoying one. But, I mean, I'm just saying there's enough acronyms in the world.
Yeah.
That you don't need to make everything you say an acronym.
Yeah.
Then you're a robot.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even know what the hell this elite speak shit was until about 2 or 3 months ago.
You mean like 1337?
Yeah. That stuff I'm like, I said to a guy at work, I'm like, what the hell is that? And he's like, oh, that's elite speak, dog. And I'm like, huh? So.
It means elite, you know.
Yeah, I know. But, so then I found this out because then he sent me the Wikipedia thing. And I saw this, and I wanted to vomit. And it's not that I'm a snob. It's just it made me realize that I'm getting old. Because I'm like, why?
Yeah, you know, when we were like 15, our parents probably thought words like rad and awesome weren't bad grammar. And then they were kids, their parents probably thought words like swell and yippee weren't cool.
So I don't begrudge anybody this stuff. It's just it made me realize that, yeah, I'm getting old. Because I'm like, I don't understand why anybody would do this. But if you do, hey, more power to you.
Yes. I think I'll write my next article on LeetSpeak.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're pretty much out of time for today, but I'm glad we came up with something to talk about, even though, yeah, the topics were kind of random, but whatever.
But that's okay. But someday we will actually truly use Vista and have some real strong opinions about it, probably.
Yeah, we came through on the high-def discs. We actually got in there with that, so we'll get in there with Vista.
Yeah. Once I get it on my work machine, I'll be able to form an opinion pretty quickly, because I'll actually be using it every day, so.
Right. All right, well, I guess we'll talk to y'all next time, and I think next episode will probably have a listener mailbag, so stay
awesome.
Tuned.
Rock on.
Crank it to 11.